You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Theatre is playing an important role as a dissenting critical voice in British society. This is particularly evident in the popularity of what has become known as documentary or reality theatre. Here, a play is based totally on public transcripts of the testimonies of real people. For example, the testimonies given to the public inquiry on the British military murder of many Irish people became the play Bloody Sunday. Tricycle Theatre in London dramatized these words verbatim, as they have done on several other politically contentious issues, like Guantanamo and racist murders of British citizens. Recently, the prestigious Royal Court Theatre in London took the writings of Rachel Corrie to dramatize them as a one-woman play titled My Name is Rachel Corrie. She was the young American woman intentionally crushed to death by an Israeli military bulldozer as she nonviolently tried to protect a Palestinian home from demolition. My Name is Rachel Corrie will be presented as a reading at the upcoming World Urban Forum. And I'm joined on the line by Marcus Youssef, an artistic director of New World Theatre, and they are producing this event. Good morning, Marcus.
Morning, Mordecai.
What attracted you to My Name is Rachel Corrie?
I was in Montreal last year teaching this kind of work, sort of community development-based art at Concordia University, and I was just sort of trolling around websites, and I keep an eye on the Royal Court website, and I saw that they were doing a show, My Name is Rachel Corrie, and I mean, I knew who Rachel Corrie was and have had a long-standing sort of interest in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and representations of it. And so I literally emailed the Royal Court and said, is there a script I can have a look at? And they publish scripts that they produce almost immediately. And so they sent me a copy of the play, and I read it, and I was literally floored. I mean, a lot of Rachel Corrie's writing is actually available on the internet, but I had never read it there. So this is my first contact with Rachel Corrie's writing, and there's something extraordinary about it. It's this 23-year-old kid. I mean, obviously, the story is extraordinary and tragic and upsetting and you know, infuriating. But there's something, you know, this 23-year-old kid who, you know, in the midst of being a sort of, I don't know, kind of average kind of activist, if there is, you know, kind of such a thing, a kind of whatever, your normal kind of went to quite a liberal, left-leaning college in the state, in Olympia, called Evergreen, kind of took that next step and said, okay, so what am I really going to do in relationship to this issue, which I feel as an American I bear some kind of responsibility for. And so she went and volunteered with ISM and did the whole ISM thing in Gaza. But I think what happened in the wake of her death, of her murder, was that folks started to realize that this young woman was not only an extraordinary human being, willing to be courageous in a way that certainly, I don't know, I suspect I may never be able to be. But she's also an extraordinary writer with an extraordinary gift for talking about things extremely simply, in ways that are extremely accessible, in ways that are quite hilarious and funny and unexpected ways, and in deeply human, kind of self-effacing, ironic ways that make the story not only the story of an extraordinary young activist, but something really human that I think it's really easy to relate to, that kind of cuts through a lot of the kind of propagandist and ideological, kind of one-note ideological rhetoric that we hear about the conflict.
When the Royal Court staged My Name is Rachel Corrie, what response did they get from reviewers and from audiences?
Well, from audiences, the response was overwhelming. I mean, maybe it was overwhelmingly positive, I think, but certainly it was overwhelming in terms of attendance. Run completely sold out. And as you mentioned in your introduction, so it's very much a part of this. You know, the theater in Britain still holds a much more important place in the culture than it does here because of its history, because of Shakespeare, because it's always been a part of the culture. And so even in the face of all the kind of screen technology we have now, theater still kind of holds a place of importance there. And certainly in the post-9/11 era, theater has become one of the few places where there's kind of active dissent in Britain in a way, kind of culturally. And this was very much part of it. So sold out, reviews, I mean, you know, it kind of depended on the ideological take of the newspaper, but generally were, you know, from rapturous to kind of the main criticisms were about, you know, a perceived sense of her naivete or something. But you know, it's running in the West End now, in a huge theater in the West End, which for a show like this, West End being equivalent to London's Broadway, which for a show like this is quite unusual. So, I mean, the popular appeal is huge.
So the play went to the West End, as you mentioned, that's where it is now,
yeah.
Because it was scheduled to have come earlier to New York, but that fell through. What happened there?
Well, it's, you know, there's a bit of a he said, she said thing going on. But essentially, New York Theatre Workshop, a prominent producing company in New York City, with a history of producing whatever alternative or edgy or challenging kind of work, and the Royal Court agreed that they would present the premiere, the American premiere of the show this spring. And then that's where the he said, she said thing kind of starts. The Royal Court and Alan Rickman, who co-edited Rachel's writing with Catherine Viner, who's a foreign desk editor at The Guardian. I mean, they say that New York Theatre Workshop got scared after Hamas was elected and was afraid of repercussions within the pro-Israel community or the Jewish community in New York, and so they withdrew it. New York Theatre Workshop says, no, that's not the case. They were having trouble with visas, and they just wanted to postpone it a while so they could line up their business decks. I mean, I don't know. I've had a fair amount of dealings with... It's impossible, I think, to know for sure. I've had a fair amount of dealings with the Royal Court and their International Development Department, which is kind of responsible for these kinds of things. And they've been really upfront and fantastic with me, but that's all I can kind of speak to.
And now that it's being staged in the London West End, what kind of turnout are they getting to the performances?
You know, I'm not completely sure because it's just transferred there quite recently, but my suspicion is based on whatever, not only the terrific buzz the show had before, people's interest in the issue, the kind of, you know, crucial nature of the issue, and then what a terrific play it is, that I have no doubt that they're doing extremely well. And I mean, this kind of conflict that happened with New York and got a lot of press and stuff probably doesn't hurt audiences as well.
Now, you've mounted a local effort to break the silence around the play, and the same is being done in Toronto. Do you expect hostile responses?
Well, I don't know. You know, it was interesting. I was talking to somebody who's, you know, holds a fairly prominent position within the art community, and they had a, you know, they actually brought it up. They went, oh, you're doing Rachel Corrie. Oh, I hear. You know, it's really naive. And there was this kind of, I don't know, I just thought it was really interesting. There was this kind of immediate, because it's about Israel and Palestine, and because it adopts, you know, it's not the, actually a Palestinian point of view. It's a young woman, very singular young woman American from Olympia, or young American woman from Olympia, Washington's point of view. But no doubt, she's hanging out with Palestinians and talking about what Palestinians go through. And immediately, like even from someone who I kind of like and trust a lot, there was a kind of, whoa, no, oh no, you know, that kind of instinctive kind of reaction. And so I think that there might be some of that. I think there might be people, you know, there are people who will either hear about it. I mean, my suspicion is if you look at, you know, the amount of writing about Rachel Corrie that's on the internet and the huge amount of invective that has been written about her by, I don't know who, whatever, people who find the things she wrote about and the things that she said really upsetting or feel that they really need to challenge that in ways that are kind of horrifying and awful. Like, if you read that stuff, like, it's so childish. And so not anywhere close to the deep humanity and complexity of what Rachel was writing about. Like, Rachel's understanding of, like, not only the conflict and what was happening and the experiences of people around her, both the soldiers, you know, there's all that, but also just her own sort of self-awareness about the, you know, sometimes ironic nature of, you know, this kind of privileged middle-class kid from Olympia, Washington, thinking she has something to do with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And, you know, like, there's a levels of self-awareness there that are so deep, and then you look at this kind of, you know, horrific, hate-filled invective on the internet, and you go, well, whatever, you know.
Tell us a bit how you've organized the reading of the play. What was the conception of it, and what will it appear like to the person in the audience?
Okay, so it's not a production, and what I mean by that is it's not a full production. It's actually a reading. The rights are not available for full production, nor would we be ready to do one at this point. The American premiere will now happen in Seattle and New York in this fall. So what it is a staged reading. And actually, when we first read the script in the office, someone I work with, Michael Bay Yamamoto, we were all so moved by the play, we just kind of shared it. And she actually went, oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing to hear this one person show read by a bunch of people, and maybe even non-professional, maybe even like, you know, not, you know, 23-year-olds or people pretending to be 23-year-old women from the States, but rather a range of people with a range of different voices. And I thought that was a fantastic idea. And so us, New World Theater, and Judith Marcuse Projects, who's producing the World Urban Forum Arts Festival and is also co-producing this reading, we got together and just kind of hooked up with, you know, community, non-professional, people who don't make their living as actors, but people who are interested in not only the issue, but also performance, and got them together, and we've started to rehearse with 10 different voices. And it's what we think is really exciting about this is there's a kind of a big range of voices. There's an 11-year-old kid in it. There's a 12-year-old kid. There's a 60-year-old Japanese man whose English is his second language. There's a couple of former ISM activists who are in it, who are back here in Vancouver, but have actually been and served with ISM, just like Rachel Corrie did. There's Canadians from, you know, Muslim, Jewish, and Christian heritage. There's this kind of broad spectrum of people, and we think because there's something we feel deeply universal and also dissenting in, like universal and dissenting in Rachel's writing, that to hear it from this kind of broad spectrum of voices, just read, like really simply, will be quite beautiful.
And what would you say is the common, or if there is one, motivation among the people who have come to be the readers?
I think there's two shared common motivations. One is an interest in the issue. For some people, it's like because they've been to, you know, it was like, oh my God, they heard we were doing this, and I've got to do this because I was there, and I know what this was like. And this, you know, Rachel's Corrie writing is a real access point for people who don't know the issue. Her writing is so accessible and engaging that it sort of circumvents all the stuff that's around the issue and allows people in to kind of hear what happens a bit. So they go, I got to do it. There's a couple of other people who it's like, it's always been, oh, I've always wanted to kind of figure this out, this whole thing, and this is a way for them to begin to kind of engage with the issue. And then I think everybody in the room shares a desire to communicate through performance, like actually to read for a bunch of people, that's something that excites and interests.
And is there a possibility that there will be a full professional production here in Vancouver?
Yes. That's certainly something we're working on. If it goes ahead, it's a question of the rights, and they haven't made decisions about who they're going to pass rights on to and stuff. I suspect that we're in a fairly good position to get them, but I don't know that for sure. And if so, it wouldn't be this season coming up, 2006-2007, but would be the 2007-2008 season. And when then we would do it more traditionally. We would do it with one actor. We would do it as a one-woman show.
Well, many thanks for speaking with us this morning, Marcus, and good wishes with the readings at the World Urban Forum. I'll give people the details.
Great. Thanks, Mort.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
I've been speaking with Marcus Youssef. He's an artistic director of New World Theater, and they are the winner of this year's prestigious ALCAN Award. My name is Rachel Corrie. We'll have two performances. Thursday, June 22nd is the first at 8 p.m., and Saturday, June 24th at 6 p.m. is the second performance.